so to speak.
So let's an update real quick on I think we have acted on testified on our last land use bill session. I sent you an email how we actually started the session, but we had a good week fending off two efforts to amend two separate bills with what we consider to be bad land use policy. House bill and a Senate bill that were in there, the other House in the last policy committee, so the last ditch effort, one of them came out Sunday, and the bill was first heard Tuesday, so that just is that, that sort of time of year, and that's now over, and so I think tomorrow.
Excellent.
And both bills, both of them did not get added to the bill, so I think we have had the last legislative action on land use issues that we care about.
That's a good question. Yeah. The bill, the House bill, or the bill that was, or Senate bill maybe, regarding housing, ADUs, and
3012 is still moving along.
Oh, that is.
Yes.
Okay.
And that bill, I believe, is really about the story. Adding a unit or an ADU to a historic building in a rural residential area. And they've got some sideboards put around it. I think that's the bill we're able to get the language in that says not in urban reserves. We have agreed to the counties not to upzone at all in urban reserves. So I think that got to a place that we were in pretty limited impact on very specific kinds of
historic.
But I think there's another bill too. It's 3007.
2007.
That would not allow local jurisdictions to ban like duplexes and auxiliary units in residential areas.
Correct. Inside the UGB.
Right.
And I believe
that actually may be a billion.
It's consistent with our current regional policy. It might be a little bit stronger than our current regional policy. It
applies to duplexes as well as ADUs.
Yes, on the ADU policy it does. On the duplexes I think it's stronger than our policy. Mm-hmm. So yes, that is in 2007. That bill is still struggling to get the votes required in the Senate, is my understanding.
So-called missing middle.
Missing middle, that is correct.
Yeah, the bill I was referring to, and I assume we're talking about the same one, was the one that Senator Lori Monica Anderson, I think, and Mike McKeon was supporting it.
That bill didn't get out of
the
Yes. The only bill that survived on rural residential ADUs is this 312 that relates to storage homes, and then there's the ADU policy in 2007.
Great, I'm glad.
But now we're going to show other roads. So, the president said that. Yesterday, the transportation bill was put in print. This is the amendment to 2017. House Bill 2017 is going to be apparently the vehicle for 2017 transportation package. The Joint Committee met last night and heard from legislative council staff, sort of section by section, major section of what was in the bill. All largely consistent with what we've been talking about for months now. It's been being developed in the work groups and coming out, being heard in the full public view in the rounds in front of this Joint Transportation Committee, now in print. So everyone's poring over it and looking at all the different aspects of it. But I think our first cut review is it has all the major elements that we've been talking about. And now, from staff and LMA and staff and planning are looking at their pieces to see does each section work? Do they meet the goals that we had set out? Are there issues or problems? The committee is going to meet Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights next week and begin receiving testimony. We understand they're working with us and others to put some panels together for Monday night, so some invited panels. We talked to Councilor Dirksen, but he has a conflict, and so Tom's going to come down, I think, and testify then. We're looking at a JPAC panel, we're calling it, which is some County Commissioner Saltzman, Mayor Danny Doyle, Tom Hughes, probably two County Commissioners. So a good representation of the region, geographically and structurally. Then there's going to be a cities panel, a counties panel, and some other modes, hopefully an industry panel, not quite sure what else. What the legislature are hoping for is that even if folks have amendments or things they'd like to suggest, that people are coming forth saying, this is a great package and you should pass this package. So that's the the discussion I want to have with you today is, is that a place that we can be? And there are a couple questions that I want to pose to you about elements of the package. First, though, I'd say this thing's on a knife's edge. There's a good chance that it could fail passage for a variety of reasons. And now that things have been developing over time, so various interest groups are watching the elements, and now it's in print. Folks who don't like aspects of it, or industries that feel like they don't want a tax increase on their industry, are now with this idea. Are they going to try to run this over the bus, or try to make modifications or changes? AAA and truckers, two pivotal groups involved in transportation, are trying to decide how to position themselves around the bill. Is there a way to make this, from their perspective, a smaller hit on car drivers and truck drivers? Or can they stomach what's in here, maybe with some modifications? So the hard part is we're just at the beginning now of that process, and there's not much time left in the session. So the website, the committee is trying to get through public testimony next week. On Thursday the 8th, hold a work session where they try to reconcile what they've heard and bring together suggestions from legislators, and they're requesting quiet suggestions from all the different interest groups on the side to reconcile that all beginning Thursday in order to amend the bill essentially over the weekend and be able to bring a bill towards the floor.
This is next week.
The week after next. So within 2 weeks, they'd like to be in a place where they have an actual bill that can bring to the floor. That's ambitious. And there's not a lot of time after that before they hope to finish the legislative session. Add to that the fact that there needs to be a vote, in order to square the budget, there needs to be a vote on corporate tax, and there needs to be a vote on a hospital fire tax. The order of those matters a lot. What we've been hearing lately is they're going to switch the order from the previous order, do the corporate tax first, and then either transportation and or the provider tax. That puts the transportation bill in a much worse place because the corporate tax at the moment doesn't have the votes to pass. And it's going to be quite a fight. So it could poison the well of legislative cooperation and just before trying to get votes on this bill. So context for where we are. This thing could fall apart for a variety of reasons. Thus, the desire, I think, amongst us and our partners to be supportive and pushing as much as we can, even if there are pieces that we want to amend or change or don't fully love. Anyway, that's one piece. The other piece of context is where we started and what's in the package now. We started off with council priorities, JPAC priorities, saying we want money to fix the roads and systems we have, transit funds for operation. We wanted capital funds for transit. That's one piece that's actually not in here. Well, it was never going to be in the bill, but there was a request for water bond funding. That's not going to happen. We've had clear
for Southwest Corridor.
Money for bike and ped, money for a safe routes to schools. All of those elements are in the proposal that we have before us, and a proposal for how to fund the three big bottleneck projects in the region. So all except for one of the items that was on the JPAC and council list of priorities are actually contained in the bill.
So the Southwest Corridor is completely out of the package?
Yeah, I mean, really, we were never talking about it as a part of the package for a variety of reasons, but it was part of the budget process and request out of the Deadlands Committee.
So it's out of the complete.
It is now out. The amount of money in the lottery bond available to fund lottery bonds is very small, lots of competition, and the region started the process of requesting that money late because we had to wait for Tiger to vote for their measure before we could say, we're good to go, we've got this. So that happened in November. And waiting until then hurt the process of making a pitch to legislators for the money.
But we should be able to go back to get another bite at that next year.
2019.
Right, and maybe actually be easier because you don't have this package in play at the same time. So,
there was always a bit of confusion, and so we were working very hard to separate the two dialogues about capital funding for Southwest Corridor versus operations funding for transit. And anytime people got confused, it hurt the effort to get operations funding for transit statewide.
So that's why that line that kept saying
not for light rail.
That's why they kept emphasizing that. Because they're saying, I don't want to, you know, raise this tax statewide and put that money into the, this capital budget. Right.
So generally of the land, there's probably going to be some interesting details on what is there, but we have a package now that we don't like particularly well, but we can live with.
Well, I think that there are a couple elements that I want to ask you questions about.
Okay.
I think for the most part, we've been talking for months now about the major elements, and they're consistent with the priorities that you said at the beginning, and we've talked through those elements. I'll just lay out right now.
If you want to use your right word, yeah. Lay out what's in there. Before you guys start to get into details, can we see it? Or
just do a general overview. Yeah.
Let me just say the three issues. The three issues are checking back in on how the transit operations piece is funded, which is the concept of a 0.1% payroll tax charge of employees across the state, largely distributed based on where the money came from, but not exactly that way. So there'd be a little leakage from the metropolitan area out to the rest of the state, but for the most part, it could be consistent with money, where the money came from, money going back there. I think the challenge is, in order to make it enough funding in the rest of the state, the metropolitan area has to make some contribution outside because we have so much of the payroll in the state here in this region. I haven't seen yet, and I don't know if we've asked some folks to look specifically at the transit section to see if they require. We've heard they're going to require TriMet to first fund low-income fares out of the share that they get. I haven't seen that in the bill yet. I would not be surprised if the legislation proposed that by the coming week. That's been an understanding of what would happen in the bill. It's also been an understanding of what TriMet would do with the money if they got it. But the key question there is on comfort with that tax, that funding approach for transit operations. We would stand to gain somewhere in the range of $45 million a year to increase transit operations funding in the region. $107 million. So that's one question. And I guess I ask all these questions in the vein of, are any of these things that would cause us to say, we don't like the whole package? Or are we able to be in a position of saying, this is a good package, and there may be elements we continue working to improve, but that we would be in a position of supporting it. That's sort of the either one. The second question is both of the two questions about the surcharge, the regional surcharge of gas taxes and registration fees, and they are about the governance, which we've been talking about a good bit. Now we've got a proposal that I think I briefed most of you on. We thought it was going to be the way it's drafted, and it is indeed the way it's drafted. And the second question is sort of a risk analysis of how that surcharge would play out, or how it could, various ways that it could play out, and is the method they put in here problematic enough for us to have a position, then let's
proceed. So there are two questions about the surcharge?
Yes.
Yeah. Pretend I don't understand them.
Yep. So now we're going to the whiteboard.
Okay. So the proposal that we were promoting was a surcharge that's imposed by the state. Mm-hmm. And that was a discussion in the congestion committee with Senator Hope, with Senator Hope and his team. That is the proposal that came to the full Joint Legislative Committee. We had been negotiating and working with our local partners about that. We thought that should be governed locally. We came up with a compromise proposal that we talked about a couple times at council. And so there's a governance question. There is a question of who acts on the funding. There's a question of a vote and a question of referral. So here we had said this combination of JPAC, Metro, was our, I think it was the 11-member subcommittee, was our region's agreed-upon way of doing this. The legislature would act. There would be no vote, and there would be no referral at the local level. That local act. Obviously, the whole state package could get referred, and that's part of what legislators are trying to figure out, how do they shape the package so it doesn't trigger somebody to refer it. What's in the bill is a local authorization for congestion relief.
Is that correct?
get relief district.
We had the cray-cray at one point. That was the carbon relief and congestion relief fund, or carbon reduction congestion relief fund. Congestion relief district that would be governed by the membership of JPACT minus Washington State folks, and the only voters would be elected officials.
So the appointees.
Yeah, the Washington State folks.
I guess
on this.
Port is off.
They're not voting.
Correct.
Port is on as a non-voter.
Port would be off.
No. Portland would be off. TriMet would be off.
So this group locally would act. The bill says there's no vote. In fact, this group cannot refer it to the voters. They're not allowed to. But there is the opportunity for a referendum on the action that they take. The construct is that this grouping, acting as the district board, would have to vote by the end of the year to support the three bottleneck projects, and then within a certain period of time, vote to enact the taxes. And they're laid out in the bill. It's the 3 cent, 3 cent, 3 cent gas tax over time, and $5, $5, $5 HP over time. No authority for any other taxing authority, no property tax, no other taxing boards, with a very specific purpose to raise money to match for the bottlenecks. If you recall, that 3 cent, 3 cent, 3 cent, $5, $5, $5, $5 raises enough to bond for the full $500 million for the bottlenecks, plus around $20 million a year, depending how the bonding works, over time, in perpetuity, for local projects of regional significance. So this would be the entity that agrees to the bottleneck funding and determines where this surplus revenue would go.
Beyond the bottlenecks.
So
there is no LIHO funding in that package either.
Well, correct, because this is gas tax.
So you can't use it. So
you could use things in the right way.
In the right way.
Yep.
So anything that acts for the end of the year, obviously the tax inventory goes away, is the correct?
It probably sits there in statute, but it's not.
It has no
well, how does it go away if we have a revenue stream that goes in perpetuity?
The question was, if this body...
I can't hear her when she talks.
If this body fails...
She points that way, not this way.
If this body fails to act in the time laid out, then the taxing authority goes away, the district goes away, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
That was the question. Yes, it doesn't happen.
And they have no other authority.
Correct.
Yeah. Then...
The correct.
What entity does
the
make decisions?
The district.
What if he does make decisions about the tail, the revenue that isn't expended in bonding?
Any surplus funds of these taxes, the surcharge, are determined by the 10 members.
10 members?
Yeah. Of this JPACT membership of the district.
Three of whom are Metro Council.
But we're talking about a potentially not well measurable amount. You make an estimate of what the bonding cost is going to be, and therefore what the repayment trail
of
that
bond is. About $20 million a year.
About. So we would take some kind of estimate of that total revenue, decide whether that group would decide whether all or some portion of it should be itself bonded for those future expenditures, you know, in an inverse way. Or whether it's going to be cash only. But how can it be cash only?
Well, that's how...
Because it's out in that year.
That's how flexible funds, I think, are done.
There's all kinds of mechanics, but I don't think we can try to resolve them. They're not anticipated.
It's perpetuity.
I don't know if they can even do a bond against this revenue. I mean, let's be clear. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
We have a lot of
questions that we don't
about
know.
How to function.
This is the first draft.
Yeah, we still have to...
This is fundamental, it seems to me. How do you figure out a dollar amount and what it is?
Yeah,
I've said about this.
Yeah, but and who supports this group, too?
Yeah, that's a good question. So let me lay out the other potential options, which are Metro obviously has taxing authority. would have to put something out to a vote, and actions could be referred. The legislature can also give local districts certain kinds of authority, mm-hmm. but that's also subject to a vote and subject to referral, and that would be some kind of local action. The legislature could authorize. So we've been working hard with legislators to figure out if we're going to make this going Dutch concept work. They've got some mechanism to raise $500 million. We need a mechanism to raise $500 million. Your staff, the regional lobby staff, feel like this process gets you there. We would, in the end, be able to raise the money from that surcharge and have the surplus amount. Our feeling is this probably does not work. That's how we're running out of the bill right now. And likely, even if this body of JPEC members voted as a district, took that action, it doesn't go to vote, it will get referred. We know the gasoline dealers are already talking about it, always the capital. They plan to refer this local action. So we know it would end up on the ballot. We're telling legislators quietly, this pathway you're constructing will probably not end up raising the money that we're hoping to raise. There is a potential 2018 measure that might raise some portion, I don't know what, $200-300 million maybe, if it indeed gets put on the ballot and it passes, there may be a way to have some match for the state's $500 million.
Is that the TriMet measure?
Yes, the bond measure that TriMet's proposing, some settlements for some vital funding, some additional funding, and we're talking about potentially some additional projects in there. But, you know, there's a lot of questions still about that. And legislators are very aware that we've been talking about this potential measure, but also very aware that could well not pass. So they're not relying on that to be the place that we raise revenue. But that's a potential place to raise some of the national revenue. This process is doubly fraught because either Metro has taken it directly to the voters, in which case you propose something that you think could actually pass. Or the legislature can override a local government's charter and say you don't have to take it to the voter, but you're still subject to referral. So you're still in the same place as you are here. And that's no different than the Metro using its existing authority, except that with artistic authority, there'd be, you know, you'd have to just take it out directly to the voters.
What is that third option again? What does that say?
The legislature could authorize, could provide the same kind of authority just to Metro. And if you're just thinking, you know, mechanistically and not whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, they could say, notwithstanding a local charter, this tax authority does not have to be subject to sending out the voters, but you cannot avoid, since it's the Constitution, the right of the people to use referendum to refer a tax proposal. So just thinking about how you get to a place where we can match the state's $500 million, I think your professional staff's opinion from around the region is this is the winner, this is the one that actually works. This is a correct proposal, it most likely does not get us there. Our recommendation is continue working with legislators in the next week and a half, 2 weeks, to try to convince them to amend the bill to take this approach. The challenge would be to the truckers come and say, we're going to refer the whole thing over this.
Well, when I have an opportunity, I'd like to comment on that.
And there may be other reasons there for the package anyway, so
this is the key direction
you need. Are we comfortable enough with this concept of how these funds would be governed? And are we comfortable enough with this risk to support the package even if it looks like this? Or do we have an alternative that actually works to raise the money that we need to raise to match these bugs? If we're not able to do what we'd like to do, which is convince those states to go back to where we were coming out of the congestion work group and suggesting the state impose this.
Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I think you need another column up there. And you talk about local referral, but then there's statewide referral. And even the top one, the one that we like the best, will still be subject to statewide referral. And in fact, in a statement that I saw in the paper recently, that they were specifically drafting the measure so that it would be all or nothing. either that you would have to refer the entire package or not. You can't refer only a piece of it. One of the arguments we've heard from legislators was it needs to be written in a way that we share the political burden of getting this through. And my argument would be is under the initial concept there where it's imposed, the whole thing can be referred. If we were to do it the second way, still the whole thing can be referred, but then even if that referral is unsuccessful, there's still the people who are opposed to it get a second turn at bat to refer it at the local level as well. How is that equally sharing that? And I think that's something that we need to be able to say in our testimonies, that it's not equal if they get two swings at the ball because there's a local referral and a statewide referral. Another question I have is...
But can you... I don't know that we can legislate that otherwise, can we? Can the state legislate?
Well, if the surcharge is state-imposed, there's no opportunity for a local referral.
You can only refer a local action, and we wouldn't be taking a local action.
Right.
So the compromise that we had heard about would be that while under the state imposition, they would still want a local administrative act to accept the local surcharge. So that still allows MPOs, whether it be ours or others that this may apply to later, still give them the ability to accept or reject the surcharge in their region. But it would be an administrative action so that it's not subject to referral.
Interestingly, using the case that we intervened on in Longmont County with the hotel, the Russell case,
right,
where it was an administrative versus a legislative.
So there's no... To me, that says the way to share the burden is with the state imposed, not the other. It's an unequal share if it goes to a local alternative. The other question I have is there was when the subcommittees were in session talking about this, they were considering language that would make our access to the surcharge funds be conditional on us agreeing to and going forward with the local measure later for the other things, the property tax measure or whatever. And if we were to not put that before the voters, regional voters, or if it were to not pass, then we wouldn't even have access to the regional surcharge that the state imposed. Is that language in the bill?
No. I think in discussions along the way, folks decided that the risk of linking the bond measure to the bottleneck, the full bottleneck funding, was that anybody who decided they really didn't like the bottleneck projects would then come out against the measure.
So, but clearly there was an interest at the state level in the legislature that we do this measure.
Yes.
So another argument that we should make is that if the surcharge is a local action that is then subject to referral. Not even subject to referral. If it's a local action, that makes it extremely difficult politically for us to take that action and then turn around 1 year later and say, and we want to raise your property taxes as well.
You have two votes, either back to back or at a similar time.
Right.
And the vote on this matter, which is some devotion of resources to the bottleneck projects, and then some resource that's available for a committee that is not a known government entity in the region, does not make for a very good campaign message.
Yeah.
So your staff are all pretty convinced. That's a horrible ballot to take out. We've been working hard to figure out how do you structure this thing to actually be passable in that size and range, and it's a challenge. So I think the suggestion we would have to this board is if it starts to get referred, just pull it back. Don't allow it to go to the ballot. Don't let it sort of poison the well of a 2018 measure or other local government's efforts to raise gas taxes and registration fees to support their priorities.
I think the basic argument is that their local alternative, the local action, it won't function. It will fail. Even if they put it in, pass it into law, it's not going to have the intended consequence. You're not going to get what you were looking for.
which is, that's what we're quietly telling key leaders in transportation discussion to get them to understand that there's been some confusion about, you know, is the region backing off the surcharge, or have we got a cold feet and don't want to take a local vote, and we're trying to say, hey, none of that is true.
We want to do what will actually work.
Yes,
it's a fundamental concept.
Well, and the other thing about it that is frustrating, I think, is the idea that a statewide referral is a burden to them, and that if we had a local burden, that would be our sharing. We would share that statewide burden.
Yeah.
We've got 45% of the voters in the state, basically. And we collectively and individually as entities and as elected officials would do everything in our power to secure the measure, that the package that just passed the legislature. So if it went to a statewide referral, because we think that would be an easier election to win, not an easy, but an easier election to win, that makes more sense. It certainly makes more sense than a statewide where we have to use resources and expend energy and then turn around and do a local where we have to expend energy
again,
and then turn around and do one in 2018. That makes absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah.
It's a three-peat. We got a limited amount of energy.
That was one of those.
That's not sure.
Now, I think the idea, if we get something in place at the end of this legislative session, an election in 2018 that compounds what we were able to get done, is a good campaign strategy. I mean, go out to the voters and say, look, we've got momentum going now to clean up this congestion problem. Vote with us now on these additional steps, and we will be one more step towards completing that goal. But I agree that going to them and saying, okay, you just kicked us in the teeth on this one. We would like to invite you to kick us in the other side of our mouth on the other one. So here, we're turning our other cheek in a good Christian fashion. Shirley, I'm sorry, I walked all over you.
No, that's fine. I'm not even sure I understand the difference in the governance between the imposed and the local authority. That's something that I guess I didn't catch when you were doing it with the set. So you have this 11-member group out of JPAC that will take that surcharge and decide which project.
I take this off because this really was our idea.
It was already
in the region.
Yeah.
This is the work that we all did, you know, these Friday morning meetings, trying to negotiate, figure out what can we come up with locally and agree upon. But it didn't make it through legislative council into the bill.
Oh.
So either way you do this, they're talking about creating a congestion relief district.
Okay.
And that district has to have a board, and that they are arguing it has to be separate from all the existing MPOs. They're going to use the MPO maps. In our case, the UGB would be the boundary, but in other areas, it would be their MPO boundary. But they're going to reconstitute it as a district that has this very limited taxing authority. In our case, they're naming JPAC as the governing board, absent the Washington members, and only allowing elected folks to vote. In the other MPOs, they're naming the various entities that serve as a cog or whatever. I haven't read that quite carefully. They're naming those existing entities that govern those MPOs as a separate district. So if we're able to convince them to move back to city position, it's likely going to be some kind of board like this, the same structure.
And the reason for that is there's been so much concern that if Metro Council or Metro was assigned that, there would be...
No, this is...
This is a different issue.
Structural legal question. In creating this district, they're arguing you have to create it as a new board. You can't mingle it with an existing district.
Okay.
If you want to use an existing district, the legislature could give that district some specific authority or modify its authority, or you could use just the existing authority of an existing district. Those are the third and fourth options. If you're going to create the surcharge in a state, either at a state level or an authority for a district to do it, their argument legally, you can't mingle it with the fourth metro, TriMet, and any existing district. So it had nothing to do with all the discussion about who's in charge and who's controlling or any of those issues.
It's whether it's constitutional or not.
I have a technical question for you on that. We can do it online.
Ask Hope, because she loves to ask this question.
Okay,
yeah.
So when you want a council direction on this, I assume that that you are prudential, I'm just assuming, would be that we go on Monday and we say we love packages have work, except we might need to fix this. That we recommend that part of testimony?
No.
Okay, what do you recommend? I want to make sure we get to where you need us to be by Monday.
I would recommend, and I think staff in the other jurisdictions are recommending to the principals, that we go in Monday and say, you've done a great job.
Period.
You should pass a big transportation package this year. That we help them lift the whole package along, and that we work carefully with the co-chairs to make them understand
fix this
issue. And they all have to decide. They want to structure this in a way that doesn't work. And they know that we're telling them, we might not have to be traps here, but it's going to fail.
We might not have to be traps.
We have to make that decision, but we'll make it incredibly clear to them that this will not get us the match. This one will allow us to get the match. It might trigger a different problem for them, but it's not
for all of us.
Well, for all of us, if it's preferred.
Well,
they have to make a decision at some level about this as one piece of the overall package. And I think the position that we're trying to carve out is working in partnership with the key leaders to try to get a package passed that works as well as it can.
So even if they don't fix this, let's just say that we're unsuccessful, you're still recommending. I want to make sure that you guys are all clear that we support the working of the package.
Given the balance of the transit money, the 50-30-20 fund for local maintenance, which is in the range of, I can't remember, 100-something million a year, connect Oregon piece, the potential for still having $500 million that could go towards the bottlenecks, maybe unmatched, maybe matched at some point. I mean, I guess the other question is, what happens if 3 years out we still have no match and they have $500 million? They're going to build one of the bottleneck projects.
Well, so we can still go to the federal government for federal match. It's a highway project, so even this administration might go for it.
Correct. So that is my recommendation.
Okay, that's what I want to be clear.
If we want to help support the transportation package and get it passed over all the objections that are going to be coming in, the position to be in is of support
the move.
Why it worked to fix it. There are some other areas that I think we're going to work on fixing, like the tolling area and some other pieces.
Tolling area?
Tolling. Congestion pricing.
Is it left out?
No, it's in the bill. Maybe not enough
to let us do it.
OTC authority, maybe not enough regional push to work with the region to make this thing work. That's the line we'd like to get in. That we've worked with folks to help us on that.
Catherine?
I just want to go back. You said that it has the other elements we were looking for previously. So from the article that I read, it still includes the safe routes to school in the overall bill, right?
It's $10 million a year.
Yeah, okay.
I think the figure...
So it's not just bottlenecks and...
No. They're really viewing this as a 10-year investment approach. So over that 10 years, they've identified within a quarter mile of every school you could solve all the, you could invest in all the safe routes to schools. Mm-hmm. And then you do the next quarter mile. Mm-hmm. There's a safety program. It's called the ARTS program. I don't know why. All roads, transportation safety.
Yeah, it's
not painting. That would fund 450 identified safety projects over that same decade. There's a $4 million a year program, or is it a biennial program for off-road walking and biking commuter routes, not recreational, but commuter routes. So that there's a number of different elements that over the 10 years we lose.
So I have a couple of other things, if I could.
Sure.
Just a sort of a funny comment on CRUD or CRD. It could be referred to also as CRD 2017 and make sure that it's tied to this specific bill so that we haven't just created another body in perpetuity that would just automatically be utilized for other cases. So it just ties it a little bit, so there's a very clear association. Future legislation could, of course, change it, but there's just that reminder.
That practice here, it would continue on.
I understand it would continue on for this revenue source and whatnot.
I do like the language in here that says it's basically only for this purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And no other taxing authorities. Not,
well, that's why I think the acronym name would reinforce that concept. That's all.
The date. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The date, because that's the number of the bill. If the bill number would change, then change the number, right? So it's just that association. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing is, there's a difference between the question that you articulated to us and the question that our COO articulated, or at least from the standpoint of what I could hear at this end of the room. So it's very clear that the bill is that local authority line. Got that. You were asking us to go in on Monday and participate and say, great bill. In addition, you were saying that behind the scenes, we would make it clear to key legislators that we don't see this scenario as a workable scenario and continue to press for changes. And I want to make sure that I've summarized what we're essentially looking for them to do, and that is to impose it, but then with everything else on the governance acts vote, but the referral would be X.
Correct. So,
that's what we're ultimately looking for.
The real thing we're asking them to fix is this.
Yeah.
And the question is, are we comfortable enough with this? This piece.
But it would still stay as locally authorized. Got it. Okay. Okay.
When we talked about creating an 11-member subcommittee, the balancing factor for that was that Metro Council still had a role.
But that's where I don't quite understand that it would still be local authority, but they could somehow wave a magic wand and remove the local referral possibility. I thought they would have to impose it in order to change that from a check to an end.
So technically the imposition of the tax would be at the state level.
Okay, so it is draw a line from there down and then back up.
They're requiring the local acceptance as a trigger for it.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of political shared skin in the game idea. But then it's because it's already been enacted at the state level, there's no requirement for anything.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
I think that was it.
Sure.
You said that we'll work out the support for this, and so I'm thinking of this group. So how this group gets, anytime the JPAC members, elected JPAC members change, the members of this committee would change.
Correct.
And that's what will influence who's on this committee. It's not where someone's going to we're going to start playing games and try to get a certain person on the committee. It's going to be what happens to the members of JPAC, who's elected in their local jurisdictions, who are the JPAC members, and that will... And then we'll have to work out who supports, I guess there would be Metro staff that would support this because it's JPAC.
Right, so that's where we had some discussions with legislative council about how exactly does that work. Mm-hmm. And what they decided to put in the bill is an appropriation of $100,000 to initiate...
Index to inflation, I hope.
So just one time, just to begin with, to help provide some staff support. The district can create an IGA. So I think our assumption is that they will contract with Metro staff to provide support to the MPO to do some of that work. And then in the long term, there is a reimbursement of 0.5% of the total amount that would be in the fund on an ongoing basis to support staffing of the entity. But that doesn't kick in until the taxes are in place, which doesn't take place for a little while.
And may I follow up then?
Sure.
So I guess we don't have to be concerned that suddenly there's going to be other influence from other jurisdictions on this.
I think it's something to think about. I have one more question at the end of this, sorry. But I think it's something for us, assuming this moves ahead, assuming this survives the next month, then I think that's the next conversation for us to have.
Boy, there will be no one. Everybody would be scrambling to be representing their jurisdictions, representing the JPAC. We'll have no trouble.
We've got people running from here.
Sam,
but it's elected officials plus TriMet.
No, they're not elected.
On
the JPAC, but not on the decision making group.
So TriMet and the port are not part of this.
No.
They are part of the campaign.
All the members of JPAC, minus the Washington State folks, are on this board.
Right.
The only folks that can vote, though, are elected officials.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So there are four other JPAC members remaining, ODOT, DEQ, TriMet, and the port, who would be on the board, but they would not vote.
You know,
Well, and now I'm understanding that the metro, the current MPO would not be legally allowed as part of the structure. Is that what you said at the beginning?
What they told us is they don't think you can take the local funds of the MPO, of any district, of any city, and use them and cross them over with this district. That somehow creates some kind of financial problem. You can have intergovernmental agreements.
Is that true?
I mean, it's a
really
good one.
Getting started talking.
Let me. It's what legislative council thinks, right? This legislative council. So that has a great deal of sway with the legislatures. We could be wrong, or we could be right, but we could lose.
Yeah. It sounds like it's maybe murky and sort of bringing in other issues that aren't really what I'm addressing, which is just the appropriateness of creating another government entity. And I think in part us reacting to folks that I think before this legal question came up, the one of the larger motives was people just don't trust Metro and kind of the anti-Metro perspective on the governing. And so opting for another form of government, even though it's a lot of people complaining about Metro, say it's an unnecessary layer of government, and that yet they're articulating and arguing for yet another layer of government, and one that is much more distant from the voters. The voters, one vote, one person at Metro, I think that's an important component. And I just feel like I would like us to try to continue to push for the structure that I think is the most appropriate structure, which is, well, ultimately, I would argue Metro, but Metro and JPAC working together, the current MPO. I think that's really the best structure, and somehow if we could get there, I still think that's the right one. I think if we can't get that, I think long term, I think we have a lot of work to do, because I feel like we're in this, you know, one of my observations being here for 4 years, I feel like we're in this place where we're defending and we're sort of, you know, quietly accepting this perspective that Metro is this extra layer of government, and we're compromising away this core principle that one person has one vote here in our region. And I think we continue to compromise on that basic fundamental value that Metro should be decision-making body on issues like this. So I think part of it is I had a revelation when I was down in the legislature and I invited electeds to come and engage in the Lillicum Fair Day. And a lot of folks just step right up to do it, the mayors and other electeds, and it made me realize how present they are, some of them, in the legislature, and they have living the cities, and they have the counties, and then they're personally very present, and I know some of us are present down there, but I wonder if we need to have a strategy before the next session that really gets us more, even more engaged and more active with legislators and decision makers that are down there. I think our communication strategy is really great in some areas. I don't think we do it as a council on the political level as much as we could. And I think we could really take a deep look at that and preparing and thinking about this question of Metro and us sort of almost buying into the idea and compromising in a way the idea that Metro should be the decision maker in these kinds of scenarios. So
again, the only feedback I have is the normal way of doing all this is the state raises the tax and ODOT's going to build the projects, these spotlight projects. We raise local money, MSTIP or other grant fee or whatever, and we use those for our local projects. We're trying to do some things to hybrid those two. And that's where the challenging part comes in.
Yeah, I don't know if I qualify as a hybrid. I qualify as a whole third separate.
Right, the other approach is that Metro, the council could use its taxing authority and go ask the voters for a 9-cent gas tax increase, the $15 registration fee increase, and tell them we want to go build these three big bottleneck projects and we want to devote money to a series of arterial roads.
I don't like that option. I like the number one option, just the governance structure is what I don't like. I mean, I'm not...
Or get both.
Perfect. Perfect is often
the we're not going to get both.
I think we approach this from the perspective that, hey, we've got to compromise on that governance part because, you know, if we don't, some people are going to go and we're going to show that we're not in agreement down in the legislature because some people are going to complain. So why aren't we taking the position, hey, you know what, if folks in the region are going to go along with Metro or the existing government entity, MPO, making the decisions, then they're going to have to call that question. I don't know, say necessarily who some of those folks are, but a lot of them might be in jurisdictions that are actually per capita getting more of these transportation dollars than others of us. So,
yeah, another interesting fact that I would share, having been down in this session, is I think a lot of our partners feel exactly the same way. The Port of Portland has been, on the defensive this whole session. People trying to take away their airports and other authority people mad about Terminal 6 and how they are, screwed up everybody else's freight, trying to get in the region. Each of the counties in their own way, under attack, under siege, on various issues. So it's been interesting to me to get a perspective of how we feel that way often about our authority. Everyone else does too, because they, at some level, get threatened by their interests and interest groups. And the legislature has the power to enact laws, and with the case of TriMet and the board in particular, can directly step in and change the law and affect how they do their business.
Sell off light rail, sell off.
But require them to spend their money in certain ways if they're going to get any money.
Shirley?
Well, I appreciate Chase's comments because I've kind of had similar thoughts, but I understand the challenge that we're in. I want to just change it slightly. Regarding the trucking industry and the AAA, you probably already doing this, but my thought goes is things about, are you really that the congestion that we're all experiencing now, you're really... Will jeopardize this package for the, what their specific concern is? It will probably less on a smaller gas tax, but I find that it just doesn't work. It doesn't fit. They want automobiles to be out there. The AAA, the trucking industry, wants to get their trucks through congestion, and they might oppose this. And I know I'm speaking to the choir right now, but I find that interesting.
They said you should raise the gas tax to MHP in order to raise an additional $300 million a year, and that's it. So they support that package tomorrow. The legislature took a different tack. Trying to figure out how to raise the taxes enough to solve a whole bunch of needs, and how do we do something that helps the rural and the urban areas. They went for a 10-year big plan, and
it's just too much for them.
Well, remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. Will they actually refer it? Will they actually pull enough votes that they can kill the package? We don't know.
Yeah, they might be fluffing their feathers or something.
The co-chairs want to try to push the bill through, and so they're looking for the various folks who are involved in developing this to help them do that. And that's sort of where we are today, and everybody's looking at this bill and deciding, can we do that? Can we go in and say, this has got most of what we need in it, and it's good, or do they say, I hate this piece enough that I'm going to oppose the whole package and go tell individual legislators they should vote against it. That's sort of where we are.
Bob? Mr. President, colleagues, I share a generalized frustration with finding ourselves at a point with this legislation in this session that is less than what we want. Having done a few sessions for various special interests in my career, and having felt this burning grievance before, I need to tell you we are too late to let our feelings guide how we vote at this point. So I want to propose that we give Andy a thumbs up for the strategy of saying, love the bill, Mr. Yeah. Chairman, and then speaking to Mr. Chairman quietly afterwards to get this mess fixed.
And we're comfortable with the payroll tax piece. That's
We got to go.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a bottleneck or two I don't like, but am I going to whine about that? No. No, I'm not going
to
go there.
There's a third question, sorry. We had talked to you about bringing a resolution to JPET on the 15th, I believe it is, of June, which was going to suggest that we support, that JPEG supports this governance structure, which is now not relevant. And so we need to figure out between now and then how to, and I will work with our staff, but we probably need some engagement from some of you with other elected officials. I think there's another of these leadership meetings coming up.
I'm glad you're doing that.
It was serving a useful purpose. It was a little uncomfortable because it was not everybody. But the point is, it will probably be helpful for us, if we can, to put something before JPEG that would say, we're okay with the three bottleneck projects, and we're okay moving ahead in general with the legislative package. We don't know quite what, I'm looking at Randy, we don't quite know what that is yet, because we're in the midst of trying to negotiate a better approach for this in the bill. But we think for two reasons, because it would help maintain regional cohesion, and on the other hand, signal to legislators that there's support in the region for moving ahead with the going Dutch concept at a high level, that it would help to bring something toward JPEG. We had promised to bring you that resolution, but we were drafting one that's no longer relevant. So one mainly is to check in to make sure moving ahead with some form of resolution that hopefully we can bring to you or share with you at some point prior to JPEG makes sense.
But we might have to talk with some
with other folks, because this governance structure was a surprise to all of us in the last couple of weeks. And the whole thing pivoted, in the last month from state opposed to locally authorized because of other pressures. So we're all moving along with the process. But if that's comfortable enough for now, we will then come back to you with
Catherine.
I imagine a scenario where some collection of folks, this group or others, would try and negotiate that the CRD group would only have one Metro rep, and I would resist that.
Mm-hmm. I heard that loud and clear, but I have not heard any peeps from our partners about trying to affect this governance plan. Yeah, one's much more focused on how do we get to funding of the projects, and I think our partners are all in the same place of saying, wow, there's a lot of really good stuff in here. If we get this thing passed, we could solve a lot more resources. So no one so far is willing to, start thanking each other over the local governance question.
That was where they had wanted to go initially, and they've come back to this. So I think that having come back to this now, everybody's pretty settled. But I remember when I was back in Washington that Roy actually cornered me back in Washington and said, so what I'm hearing is that Metro is going to kill the whole package if they don't get the total authority to decide where the money goes. And that is
the
local government interpretation of what we were saying in the legislature, which is, look, we've got to... And my response to him was, no, what we're saying is, we have a governance process that works okay, and in fact, you work it better than almost anybody we know. And so why would you want to change that? And he gave me one of his knowing smiles and said, yeah, that he thought that's probably true. But that's the danger in saying that that we find the governance structure so offensive that we would oppose it.
I think we've got our regional partners to a great place.
Yep.
I think there are a few cities who don't sit on JPET who are annoyed
Agreed.
With their
yep.
lack of role. But I think most of that's been smoothed over. So
yep.
I think I have a clear direction from you all.
Can I just clarify, because we'll go back tonight. I hear the council saying that we'll support the package in public profusely and then work behind the scenes to make the changes that we would like to see before we can decide a little more direction. It's a choice between, this locally imposed the local authority or this local CRD act to impose the tax, and then we know it'll get deferred. So we know that pathway will fail.
We're sure.
And then the fix is this sort of empowered, separate JPAC district that the state imposes the funds in that district that is separate and is non-metro.
It's the CRD.
Yes, it's the CRD. It just doesn't have to, impose the tax and be subject to referral. That separate governing body approach is preferable to an outcome that we know just won't work and fail. That's my question.
Yes.
That's what I heard
you say. Yeah. Well, we want to avoid outcomes that we don't think will succeed.
Right.
But yeah. Go.
On that, I would say, it behooves us to take the position that others are that, hey, don't rock this boat or we're going to oppose it. So if there is an effort to take Metro councilors off of there, I would be vocal and verbal about opposing it. Somebody needs to say that, otherwise we're the ones that keep compromising away because
sure.
The dean of JPAC or others say it, and it just ends up that we just keep moving the bar and they don't.
More power.
Yeah.
So I assume you all agree with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
Good.
We're in a very powerful position because right now it named JPAC minus Washington member, so mm-hmm. Everyone has to come in and oppose it.
We have three votes.
That's not us hanging together.
Yeah.
I just want to ask a question. Are we going to also look into what the state's notion is about the CRD? Are we going to try to research that too and just have a second?
We can try to understand that. The effort to push it from here to here is going to be, in the next week and a half, is incredibly hard.
Okay.
So that would be my main focus. I don't think there's much of a window open to go back to the city. And we've been talking to the city council for 2 weeks now. And we've been consulting with them, but they're taking direction from their client. We now get a chance to be the client through a different legislator, get a language written up, but we're only going to push it so far. No, that was it.
I'm assuming you need everyone in this room to be speaking positively about the package.
Love that.
The most helpful thing right now would be we need more transit, we need investment in our highways, we need to maintain the system we have, the economic benefits of transportation are huge. The staying at that high-level value is what will help at the moment move the package forward.
And we have great staff that is involved down at the legislature.
You don't need to see that, but
I'm excited because I'm excited because it's more money than we thought was going to be in it initially, and because we've created this special feature that I think has been an important element that's been missing all along, which is the ability of the metro region to step forward and help fund some projects on our own with a mechanism that helps us do that, and that's that creating that surcharge I think is a key element to this whole thing that in the future is going to serve us really, really well.
If they oppose the discussion. So do you guys think, I want to get Frank and Craig right now, you could write some talking points that councils can have so they can speak positively without compromising themselves, not putting them in a position of saying something that they don't actually
believe.
So let us do that for you.
Machine we're looking for.
Well, so that you don't find yourself in a position of being asked about some of the details where you really are concerned. And because I think that we need to protect Andy's negotiating power right now, and his power is going to be premised on people feeling goodwill and love and affection from us. Right?
We're all happy.
I'm all bought into goodwill, love, and affection.
We'll meet now.
We're happy.
Even though
I'm hoping
I will continue to, rage against some of the needs.
Just
don't mind. It'll get better. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I think we do all need to be saying positive things when we're out in the space.
Yeah.
If the package does make it through in the next month, there is likely to be a special session, or it'll come back next February. So we're not done. There might be another window to have some more discussions and explore some of these questions and try to perfect this. But there's a high level movement done in both parties to try to get something done. So they're getting hung up. Over
they may have to have a meltdown over the whole budget.
Corporate tax, yeah.
Yeah, but they can come back together on this at some point.
Correct. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good job.